This is audiobook in MP3 of The Only Planet of Choice, Essential Briefings from Deep Space, of Phyllis V. Schlemmer, Transceiver. And the talk here can be followed in a PDF file also, or in the text file, that this is made from, which you better should, or ought to, format yourself. Just for easier reading then. The Universe and ITS Beings. Prelude. We are here. This is Tom. We come in love and peace. Greetings, blessings, joy. This is how many of the transmissions from the Council of Nine begin. They are transmitted via Tom, their spokesman. This edition of The Only Planet of Choice has grown out of the need to prepare the original text for translation into other languages. Also, with the success of the previous edition, it became clear that there was a need for more material from the Nine. So the original text had been expanded from the archives and new transmissions, given in May 1994, have been added. To this end it had been necessary to keep the editorial input to a minimum. The Nine texts will speak for themselves, for as Tom has said in a transmission in 1991, the energy of these positive understandings enables lives to be changed. It is of vital importance that this cosmology is available for humankind, to give them the opportunity to know the truth, for when it is exposed to them it will bring forth that code within, to make them aware. So my editorial decision has been to keep a light hand on the wheel. It is quite possible that we do not understand all the meanings of all Tom's sentences, but it is also possible that with inner growth, what is unclear today will be shining with clarity tomorrow. It is this sort of book that stretches and helps us expand. This book is very different from both Prelude to the Landing on Planet Earth and its first edition. It does not have the narrative style of the former, nor the commentaries of the latter. It requires that the reader simply be. It is a reflection of the rapidly changing times, of our increasing capacity to assimilate extraordinary ideas into our lives and act upon them. Very often Tom makes a statement and then repeats it, with the alteration of just one or two words. He is stretching our minds and gradually a large concept is fed into our minds in easy, spiraling stages. This is another way of nudging our coding, allowing us to absorb information which we will access when it is needed. I would also recommend reading Briefing, Parts 1 and 2 before settling down to the main text, as that information would be most helpful in understanding the processes involved. For my part, while working on these transmissions, I have felt them become as a great crystal, reflecting light from all its facets. And I have been, and still am, elated by the tangible energy emanating from these sentences. It must be said that my task would have been far more difficult without the skills of Paul and Jenkins, who compiled the transcripts for the first edition. And Tom also requested that Paul and be thanked, as spokesman for the Nine. I convey from the Council of Nine, our great gratitude and joyfulness for the task that you accomplished. My thanks also go to Lab 9 Limited for permission to use extracts from Prelude to the Landing on Planet Earth, which includes the extract from Uninvited Visitors by Evan T. Sanderson. I have left Tom's speech patterns as close to the original as is possible without rendering them uncomfortable to read. The words are all exactly where they are meant to be, even if that can feel odd by our modern standards. Many of the sentences have several meanings, and each will find their own truth. I have been with these texts for many months now, and have found several layers of meaning in each paragraph. He often uses the word yes at the end of his sentences. Sometimes this is to affirm the point that he has just made. Often it is to advise the listener that he is ready for another question. Sometimes he appears unable to pronounce a word, and has several attempts at it, but I have spared the reader such sentences as, that is a probableness, a probability. This last pronounced with an air of triumph. He likes to ask why words are the same sound but not the same meaning, and such diversions are usually cut short by the counsel asking him to get on with the matter in hand. He enjoys wordplay, and the reader should look out for double meanings, though amusing. Their content will usually have serious implications for the text. He is delightful to be with, and if that is an odd thing to say of a non-corporeal being, I can only say that through all my exchanges with Tom, I have found him immensely responsive and I have grown very fond of him. The Council of Nine only transmits through Phyllis Schlemmer, and this is worth repeating, at a time when channeling is becoming increasingly popular. As Tom explains, when you open yourself for communication with other dimensional beings, it is of great importance to have understanding of purpose and motive. For there are those who come forward proclaiming one thing yet being another, and there may be a slipping through of information that may be truth, but may also be a method of manipulation and control. We come only through our being, Phyllis. I am the only spokesman for the Nine and I do not speak through any other. The text from which this quote has been taken can be found in briefing. Tom has also said that it is not necessary to go on in wind of longness. So I shall leave you with these transmissions. They have given me great joy to work with, for which I shall be forever grateful. If, from reading this book you receive as many blessings as I have done, then truly you will be enriched. I leave you with this quote, "We imbue you with our energy. We awaken you, as you awaken us. We wish you to know that we love you. We wish you to know who you are and we wish you not to make gods of us or of yourselves. We thank you." 2. The Council of Nine. Apart from the replies given in the following chapter, one very striking aspect of these transmissions is the ability that Tom has for accurate and total recall of the content of earlier conversations. He has often said, "Look to your transcriptions of 2 years ago," and has also acknowledged that what for us might take months of research, they can do in seconds. The understanding of the origins of the Nine would seem to be bounded by the inner development of the individual, be it the questioner or the reader. For as Tom has said, if there is one who would ask of questions that cannot assimilate and cannot in truth understand, we do not answer until they were in that moment when they can. This is why the chapter starts off with several different people asking the same sorts of question. Tom once replied, "We are in truth theans," in reference to the Gnostic philosophers, and that very conversation appears later in the book. An aeon is a term commonly used to describe a period of time, an eternity. However, it also describes the highest form of celestial power, spiritual entities formed from the divine presence. This first exchange, which took place in 1975, is between Gene Roddenberry, of Star Trek fame. Gene had some very long sessions with Tom, and more of them will be found later on in this section. "Gene, to whom am I talking? Do you have a name?" "Tom, I am Tom. I am the spokesman for the Council of Nine. In truth I am Tuti. Yes. I am also Homarchos, I am also Herenkru, I am known as Thomas and I am known as Autumn." "Gene, are you one of the Nine or are you a separate being?" "Tom, I sit in the Council of Nine, yes. I am one that is in wisdom that speaks to you. But the Council has said that, in communications, at times I sound not wisdom." "Yes. This is the reply that Tom gave to another questioner in 1977 on the same subject. "Guest, I would like to ask, what is it that greets me?" "Tom, I am the spokesman. I am known as Tom for the Council of Nine. I am of the Nine." "Guest, whom do you represent?" "A higher authority above you that commands you and directs your ways." "Tom, this is difficult to explain, for the world has no similar situation. But we would say to you, yes, we are in connection with one that is higher, but in totality together we are one, as all the universe is one." "Guest, do you have any purpose in our world, any major message?" "Tom, we wish you to know firstly that we are not physical beings. Your world is the manifestation of creation and of the Creator manifest in your world, in the form of humankind. You ask if we have a message for you?" "Guest, yes, I do." "Tom, we say to you, you have been created in the image of the Creator. This world has lost its identity with creation. What is, of necessity to understand, is the going forth and creating action and deed that brings you to completion in who you are. It is not enough to pray, it is not enough to gather groups of humankind for meditation. What is important is to act." "Guest, thank you very much, Tom. Andrew, I was particularly interested in Homarchos. Could you tell us, Tom, I am the day. And I am the evening. And I am the midnoon. Andrew, how did the Egyptians come to build and name the Sphinx after you? Tom, you found the secret, the true knowledge of that will be related another time. But the original time that I was on the planet Earth or identified with your planet Earth was 34,000 of your years ago. I am the balance. And when I say I mean because I am an emissary for the Nine. It is not I, but it is a group. And the principle of the Nine is infinite intelligence, and what we try to bring to this planet is this type of intelligence. We are of Nine principles of the universe, yet together we are one. We are separate and one at the same time. Each represents a portion of energy, knowledge, wisdom, love, kindness, technology, and in continuity it goes on until each portion of a spiral is composed of all that is important to bring complete understanding to each atom, until it becomes one with us. There are in actuality multiplications and more, but in principle there are Nine. We are what is identified, in the Hebraic tradition, as the Elohim. We wish you to know we are not God. We are collective and become one. We wish you to know that we are you as you are we. You created us, and out of that creation you were created. Do not underestimate who you are, and your ability. Know that all people are pure, that you are perfect, and that all things are possible with you. Know also that we cannot exist without you and all souls, and neither can planet Earth nor the universe. When you understand that, you will understand your own life. At times in your world people create confusion, for the density of it is a density of darkness. But always hold the light of truth of your own being, who you are, in your heart. We are with you always. We give you love. We bring you peace. Andrew, if I may just give you my conception of what you are like, I gather that you are pure light beings, in a sense that we don't even understand, because you exist at a velocity beyond light. Tom, it is beyond your comprehension. Andrew, yes, but essentially you would be of that nature rather than anything substantive. Tom, that is true. Andrew, something beyond photons, beyond tachyons, the least divisible known quanta subdivisions of light. And secondly, I would assume that you are more of the nature of what we call soul than any other thing we can imagine. Tom, we are soul. Andrew, you are soul. Now, in your relationship to the Nine, for example, dash are the Nine of the same nature as you are? Tom, we are one and the same. Andrew, I see. And then could you explain the profound mystery, why there are Nine basic manifestations of, guess we should use the word God, for lack of a better term. Tom, I will try to explain it in a manner in which you may understand. Nine is complete. Everything is Nine. In your world you have said seven so many times, when everything is truly Nine. There are Nine chakras, which are the Nine principles and Nine elements of what you call God. There are Nine bands around this planet Earth. There are Nine etheric bodies, and the purpose of growing your etheric bodies or going through your transformations and transitions is to attain the Nine etheric bodies. Nine is a complete number. It is whole. When you go over Nine it cancels, it becomes one, and Nine is complete. This does not change. But remember this, we ourselves are not God. All of you and all of us make God. Then came a discussion on language. Andrew, have you some method of producing your language so that we could hear the quality of it? Tom, when we speak of what our language is, it comes from deep within. It reaches different degrees, but it is its own language. In your languages on Earth, you speak in a box and then you throw it out. John, yes. Our language is produced in the vocal cords. Tom, we speak in this box and then we push air and throw it out. Do you understand that? Andrew, yes. Tom, and our language, it is within. It vibrates from the body. Do you understand? Andrew, then it does not come out the way ours does at all. Tom, no, it does not. Andrew, does it produce a sound which another ear can hear? Tom, it produces a sound that you may hear but it is inside. Andrew, in other words, it is produced inside my head rather than my ears? Is that why you mean that the tonal range of your language is a 98.6 megacycles? Tom, that is correct. Andrew, in other words, it is what we would call a radio wave? Tom, that is also correct. In this next transmission, one questioner names various biblical characters from Genesis, chapters 4 and 5, descendants of Adam, asking whether any of these were members of the nine. Tom, in totality of understanding, we are not any of those. There are hints of us upon your planet. There are many who try to understand who we are. In your earthliness, it is difficult for you to accept that you do not understand. At times the attempt to understand colors the truth of the universe. There are only keys for unlocking portions, for the human mind cannot totally comprehend. There are many interpretations and also many conflicts about who we are. Yes. In a future time we will attempt to explain ourselves on another level of consciousness, but first planet Earth must reach that state of evolutionary consciousness where we may be understood. Yes. The Council has said do not try to put us into a box. We do not exist in that form. Yes. John, is it true to say that there are several dimensions between us and yourselves? Tom, that would be an understatement. There are many. Within, in your mind. Visualize your Earth. Then from your Earth visualize that there are waves spiraling outward. And one wave creates another, and as it circulates, it grows. And it creates more and more. And it is heavy in the beginning. And if it has a sound, it is loud of sound. And as it radiates out, it becomes refined. It becomes more expansive. And all of those irritants that exist within the physical planet Earth are eliminated as it becomes a pure sound and a pure wave. And if you would have it in the color of browns or blacks, as it is radiating out, it is also being purified, until it becomes in truth the color of colorless, which is in truth a golden light. We are at the extent of that. We are, how may we say to you? As you can take a sound until it becomes the purest, and as you can take a color until it becomes the purest, and if you can take all vibrations until their level has raised until the pitches of a pure nature dash, that is where we are. John, I see. That's a beautiful picture. Thank you. Tom, it is as if you would take all that was spiritual within the universe, and all that was of the intellect within the universe, and take all of the physicalness that has been refined, and blend it together to make one pureness. It is like a crystal. Andrew, what we would like to know is something of your natural history. We would like to know what you look like, how you reproduce, what you do for nourishment, what is your role in the universe, what is your interest in the earth, and so on. I think it would help all of us enormously if you could just give us some idea of who you are in a more descriptive sense. Tom, we do not have a physical body. Although we may put on the mantle of a physical body when it is necessary, it would be difficult for us to describe to you exactly what we appear like. We appear in many forms, when that is necessary. And in your thought process we may appear as a human. We may appear as an energy ball. We may appear as a very bright light. We have evolved beyond the point of needing a physical tight body, as many souls need. We are always here, but you do not always see us? When I say we, I do not mean me, but I mean all of us. We are often observing. There are particular times in your life when we do not observe, and that is when you are involved with your desires. We do not understand this, and it is none of our affair. Andrew, I see. So assuming you had certain physical energies to draw upon, you could mold into something that would manifest in our world. Is that the idea? Tom, it would be similar to that, but you would not understand our technology. We are in our mind what we think we are at that time. Do you understand this? We exist in the zone of cold. Because of this we have no problem in manifesting in any manner in which we desire. As far as our reproduction is concerned, we do not need reproduction. You must remember that those of us that live in this zone have come a very long way in evolving. It is not necessary to reproduce as it is in your place. We are soul. Andrew, what part of the universe do you work in? Or what is your management? Tom, we are the universe. Andrew, now, in this universe, there are worlds of matter, antimatter, photons, rays, energies, particles and more. Which part of this domain do you exist in, or is it beyond our comprehension? Tom, it is beyond your comprehension. We come from the zone that is cold. This is perfection. Andrew, you know, on Earth we are just beginning to understand, very feebly, the zone of cold or superconductivity, and we know that there is no resistance there, no friction. In other words, in our simple notion, it is the area of perpetual motion. Is that not essentially true? Tom, this is true and this is perfection. We are in the center. And we do not wish to sound as if we are perfect or as if we are egotistical, but on either side of us there is the positive and there is the negative. And when I say this, I mean there is the positive that is not balanced, and there is the negative that is not balanced. We are in the center, and we are balanced. We are trying to bring those other forces into balance. We have never been out of balance. It is other things in the universe that are not in balance. We exist at the pivotal point of the universe. There is a balance. Within each of you there is all of the positive and all of the negative of the universe. Do you understand? Andrew, no, I don't. Because you told us once that you were neither on the good nor bad side, you were the pivot in between. Tom, yes. But do you understand that you are the balance of this? John, we have all of the good and all of the bad. Tom, that's why you are the balance. And why we are the balance. You understand matter and antimatter? Andrew, we never have in our world any fusion of matter and antimatter. You are telling us something quite foreign. Matter and antimatter exist independently. If they get together there is a gigantic explosion. Tom, what is Armageddon? Andrew, I don't know. Just a word in the Bible. Tom, is it not a giant explosion? Andrew, that's not matter and antimatter. Is it? Tom, I am making an analogy. How may we explain? Andrew, I don't know. It's very difficult because the Earth concept does not fit the one that you are trying to explain. Tom, we will begin at the beginning. In each of you, as in each of us, there is completeness. Completeness is a perfect harmony and balance between what you call good and evil. This is what keeps us in the pivotal point. This is why we are the pivot, because we are in balance. When we are together we are one and we are the pivot. Assume that we live in a world of matter. It is not true, but imagine that. Now the Council of Nine is in the center. And on our right would be the world of matter and on our left the world of antimatter. You understand this? If the two came together we would have an explosion. Andrew, but the reason I have difficulty is that you said we are a composite of both sides of polarity. So how can there be another side when we are a composite already? Tom, you have not understood what we have said. Andrew, if you're a composite, you don't have two sides. See? If you have black and white you can have two sides. But black and white is not a composite. Gray is the composite. I am having difficulty. Tom, you are explaining in your world, we are explaining in ours. Shall we say, in essence? Andrew, in essence. Okay. That makes it easier to deal with, if it's the essence rather than the actual substance, whatever that may be. Tom, it is the essence. Andrew, all right. Tom, there is balance within all. What causes the great dissension is a similar situation to putting together matter and antimatter. They cannot mingle, they cannot mix in harmony, they cannot blend, they become destructive to each other. Here again, Andrew has another exchange with Tom on duality, and Tom takes several attempts to clarify the picture for him. Andrew, we do have difficulty understanding what is negative and what is positive, in respect of what is called good and bad on the human level. Tom, it is difficult in your physical world for you to truly understand the importance of both. I will try to explain in a manner in which you may understand. It would be similar to a giant scale. We are in the pivot of this giant scale. Visualize the universe with the pivot being us. On one side of the universe, visualize that all is negative, and all on the other side is positive. And as you see this, you know that there is a complete out-of-balance situation. It is difficult for us to explain this so that you may understand. Within each of the sides there are many. I will explain it in earthly terms, as each of the galaxies and solar systems within the galaxies. First I must clarify, the universe, with a nine in the center, has four sides, the side opposite that in which you exist and the other two are all in balance. Do you understand? I'm following. Tom, it is in perfect balance. On this side we will now place your solar systems within your galaxies and the galaxies. If you would take a stone for each of these galaxies, if they were in perfect weight and perfect proportion to the rest of the three sides, then this would be also in balance. But if one of those stones were of a porous substance, and if you placed it in oil, and it absorbed the oil, and became weighted with the oil, then in turn it would upset the balance and pull the balance and the scale out of calibration, and would upset the other side of the universe. Your planet is accomplishing that. The negative is the heavy oil. Remember, the other sides are balanced, but this imbalance can in turn topple the rest. That is not correct. In actuality there is no good and there is no bad. It is only when one of them becomes sour or rotten that it then contaminates the rest, be it good or bad. Because of the ignorance of the peoples of planet Earth, and because their religious leaders have taught ignorance, your negative forces, which do not truly appear as you see them, manifest in that way in order to instill fear. But what is truly negative? Listen carefully. What has created the upset, besides the desires and the greed, is the complete denial and misinterpretation of the existence of ultimate reality. Your overpopulation is because of the trapping of spirits, because of reincarnation. So the earth people, the souls and spirits that surround your earth need to release themselves of greed and desire, because that is the trap. Your religious leaders do not understand this and do not teach the people. Remember that in you is a seed of purity and beauty, and that if you do not maintain a balance, ugliness or an ugly part may appear. But remember forgiveness. We hold no animosity within us, and you should not do so either. Even though you exist upon a physical planet and the densest of all the planets in the universe, remember that all souls may be saved. The only thing of which we are unforgiving is in the denunciation of God. Andrew, yes, I understand. I think at times there have been occasions we have been guilty of that attitude. Tom, this is a truth. But remember to forgive when there is true acknowledgement. May we say to you, to voice what you feel is one thing, but it is the act that is important. There are many actors upon the world's stage that play a different part than what they feel. It is when they begin to feel they are that part, not themselves, that it makes a big difference. They may say they love God, and they may say that they have understanding, but if they do not act in that way, then that is a graver problem, because it is not done in ignorance. It is the same as when you give to another because you believe it obligates the other to give back, then what you give is not gold. It is black and putrid. We wish you also to know that we do not have the need to be worshipped. Our need from you is to be loved. Do you know who is God? Andrew, I know who is God in the abstract sense. Tom, do you know truly who is God? Andrew, not truly, no. Tom, are you prepared to know who God is? Andrew, I would be prepared, yes. I do not know what that means in terms of consequences, but yes, I would be prepared. Tom, love is God. And it is love that creates the energy which feeds God, and makes God. In your world there are religious groups that say that God is within. And this is true because there is a portion of divinity within each individual. But what we have told you is not the same. Andrew, it took me a long time to square up with this, the notion that the nine collectively are God, and that we all collectively are God. Tom, remember that as God we all carry a heavy burden but also we carry joy. Andrew, well, being in the center, can you go on further to indicate how we stand between the negative and the positive? Tom, remember this, that the position that you have chosen in your physical world is limited. But remember who you are. Never lose sight of who you are. And remember that in God all things are possible and will be done. The problem is the limits of the physical mind and understanding. And also remember that as God, In order to maintain the balance in your physical world, you must at times be detached. Gently you must detach.